Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. It's great to be talking to you today. Well, in the second hour of today's show, it's my great pleasure to bring to the show a new guest for Truth News Radio, Mike Holt from Restore Australia. It's restoreaustralia.org.au. And this is an organisation which seeks to look for some real change in Australia. And the goal, one of the goals, certainly on the website here, it states, is to amend section 128 of our constitution to give all Australian voters, as well as the parliament, the right to initiate a referendum to amend the constitution. We're tired of the government taking no notice of the people. We want more say. The voters are looking for a change. Now is the time to reassert the sovereignty of the people and take control of the manner in which we are governed. So, Mike Holt, welcome to Truth News Radio.
Thank you very much. How are you?
Look, I'm great, and I hope you're well as well, and I really, you know, respect to what you're doing.
Thank you.
How's it going?
Actually, it's going very, very well, and I'm getting very excited because a lot of our marketing at the moment is focused on Facebook, and we're getting a lot of people coming in supporting what we're doing, and the word is spreading. So it's been a hard 12 months to get going, but now things are really starting to take off.
Great. And now, I've seen the website, and you know, I've looked at just the top level of what you're actually talking about, and just one question I've got: like, are you like affiliated with any other groups? I know there's been a few groups that have popped up, and I've interviewed some of them. Like, there was a group called the Australian Sovereignty Party, and a couple of others. Like, are you sort of operating more or less on your own, or are there other political groups that you have any kind of affinity with? I'm just interested.
Well, there are a lot of groups around, but they all suffer from one big problem.
Yep.
They don't have the mechanism in place to be able to affect any change. And, of course, groups like the Australian Sovereignty Party, while they've got some very good ideas and they're working very hard, they suffer from one big problem, which is they are a political party, or at least I think they are. And if you're a political party, it means you're playing in the playing field where the big political parties have all the power, and therefore you won't get a word in, or you won't get a look in. You won't be able to do anything. So Australia, Restore Australia comes at it from a different point of view. We are an activist group. We will not form a party, although several people have asked us to form one so that they could vote for us. But we looked into it and we realised that becoming part of the political system would only cause us more problems than it was worth. So we are going to stay as an activist group. And we think that by activating the people and getting them to realise that we, the people, have the power, we can do a lot more good.
Of course, activist organisations can have a tremendous influence on politics, and I'd love to actually talk to you about some of that later, but, you know, there's an organisation called GetUp that you're probably familiar with, which is obviously has a lot of influence on the Labor Party, but of course is not an organisation as well. But I certainly wouldn't, hold that up as anything great. Just any quick comments on that you'd like to make?
No, we don't make comments about other groups. They do their thing and we do ours. Whether we like them or not is irrelevant. We feel that our work is important enough that we don't want to get sidetracked.
No,
I will say that we are not associated or affiliated with any other groups. However, we do support various groups around the place, the CEC, and, of course, Aussie Beach TV.
Terrific.
So we're all doing our own thing, but what we're trying to do is to get people to understand that if we all unite behind a central idea, and that is amending the Constitution, that's the first step in being able to make the changes that we, the people, want.
Yeah, and it's a really, really interesting point. And I'd like to just ask you, what do you mean about the concept of restore, and that's in your name, Restore Australia? What are we restoring Australia to?
Well, restore can mean a few things. It can mean to fix, to bring back to almost new. I don't know if you're old enough to remember. Probably not.
Oh, I'm
but
probably older than you think. Yeah.
Back in the from the end of the First World War up to the 1930s, Australia had the most vibrant and successful economy in the world. We had manufacturing industry. We had the apprenticeship system. We had all sorts of good things. It was a golden age for Australia. And we would like to restore it to something like that. Of course, we can't go back in time, but we would like to bring back a lot of the good things that were around then. We think that our manufacturing sector has been gutted. Our farming system is falling apart. Our farmers are being forced off the land. Lots of things like that have been destroyed or gutted, and people now have just lost hope. So what we would like to do is to bring back the hope and also restore some confidence and some sanity into our political system. So restore has a lot of meaning for us.
Yeah, and I'd just like to point out that I have actually interviewed Craig Isherwood of the CEC on this show, and I think I strongly, you know, sympathise with what he told me about the same kind of ideas, that he wanted to go back to something that was some elements of what we had in our society going back 40, 50 years. But then, of course, you know, we know a lot of things weren't good then either. I mean, we know there were a lot of problems with freedoms and rights and you know, the ability of Aborigines to vote and various things like that. And can I just sort of clarify, I mean, what is your position on various kind of like issues about like the basic democratic rights of a society? I mean, obviously, do you believe that we all have an equal right to vote, whether we're black, white, male or female? I mean, where do you stand on a lot of that?
To be honest with you, we don't have any rights.
Right.
Have you read the Constitution?
No, very good point. I have not.
Very few people have, and I would recommend that you do, because our Constitution was cobbled together back in the late 19th century when Australia had six British colonies. And our founding fathers spent years negotiating, cajoling, and writing a new constitution and trying to get something that would unite the six colonies into a federation. Now, the problem was that when you unite six colonies, you had to make a lot of, there was a lot of horse trading, you had to make a lot of concessions. And so we ended up with six states, but those states, before we federated, had their own government, they had their own military, they had their own customs, their own railway gauges, everything. And so when we federated, the states were the result of that. And, of course, you can see the results even today. Our railway lines, for instance, are not uniform across the country.
Right.
Each government has its own laws, and they're very confusing. Services are not equally available across the country. And nor are human rights. There's no human rights enshrined in our Constitution. So when they talk about giving the Aboriginals and the Torres Strait Islands equal rights and that, well, you can't, because it's nothing. There's nothing in there in the Constitution. And in the last, 110 years or so, we've had 45 referendums. Only 8 of those have passed. And the reason is because, one, either the referendum wasn't designed to succeed, in other words, the politicians used it as a political tool, or the questions that they asked, for instance, the last one in 1999, when they asked if we'd like to become a republic, everybody said no, simply because nobody defined what the republic was. So
right.
We have spent, let me give you a little bit of a history about Restore Australia. About 15 years ago, our founder and chairman, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Mollison, he's a Vietnam War hero, got out of the army, sailed around the world and came back and saw what was happening with the political system here, and he realized what the problem was. Our constitution is just not suitable for the type of country that we've become today.
Yeah.
It was very good in the horse and buggy days, but not today.
Yeah.
So he sat down and he formed a group called the Foundation for National Renewal. And that consisted of about 100 members. And they were all interested in constitutional matters, and they sat down and discussed it. And eventually they spent about 10 or 12 years formulating questions and circulating these around the members and, of course, other Australians around the country, asking whether this would be a good idea or that would be a good idea. They looked into various constitutions, including the French Constitution, the Swiss Constitution, the US Constitution, and many others. And they picked and chose from the best of them all, with the result that we now then he published a draft constitution.
Mm.
And this draft constitution is what we're offering to the people today to have a look at, to, you know, digest, discuss, and suggest amendments to. And to that end, we've put a copy of that on the website, which you can download. It's free to download. You can read it. We also put a copy of the original constitution, the 1901, so that people can download that and read it.
So
I highly recommend that all your listeners do, because when they do, they'll see just how few rights and privileges we actually have. In fact, we have none. We're not protected at all.
Can you just repeat again, how was it drafted again, and who actually did the drafting?
Well, as I said, the Foundation for National Renewal consisted of about 100 members.
Yeah.
And they worked very hard and put this draft constitution together after a lot of discussion.
Yeah.
And eventually they published this book. Now, that foundation still exists today, and that is actually the basis for Restore Australia. Restore Australia is basically the communications arm of the foundation.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it sounds fascinating. I mean, I really do think that that would be a really important step, because unless we are based on a constitution that we agree with that is meaningful to us, nothing else works. And I don't think anyone really even knows. And we sort of think it's a bit of a joke. Like, we don't even take it seriously. But
why would they? It's not a real constitution anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, we're an empire. I've got Damon Crowe just in the studio here. Damon, did you want to say something?
Oh, yeah, love your work, Mike. I think that's a great idea, great ideals. However, I just throw these things around and see what you think about where we are in the kind of the real world, not trying to put a dampener on things, but just would like your thoughts on the fact that the American Constitution has basically been raped and pillaged over the last 200 years. There's a very good reason why we didn't get any rights back in the turn of the last century. And I think there's a very good reason why we're not going to get any more, is because the owners of this place and the owners of most of the planet don't want to be giving away human rights at all. They're taking it away at breakneck speed all around the world. How do you think you can potentially get this up when generally I feel the level of apathy and ignorance is at really record proportions here in Australia?
I'll tell you what, Mike, if you just hang on to the answer to that question, we're just going to break. So right back after the break, we'll be engaging with that really important question. Thanks, Damon. We'll be right back after the break. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
No matter where you go in your life, at some point you're going to need somebody to stand by you. Somebody to say
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. It's great to be with you today. And today we are talking to Mike Holt of Restore Australia. And we're getting into some really interesting questions here about how we might reform the Constitution and the process by which we might do that. And Damon, you proposed the question there to Mike about the US Constitution, comparing that to our situation and seeing, in fact, how despite the Constitution in the US, there have been a lot of problems and a lot of erosions of freedom. Mike, I'll just hand it over to you to respond to Damon as you see fit.
Yes, that's a very good question too. Thanks, Damon. If you look at the American Constitution, it really doesn't enshrine any rights in it as well. It describes certain inalienable rights, but they have a Bill of Rights, which is supposed to protect their freedoms, etc. Now, the problem with a Bill of Rights is that it can be easily overridden by a government that just wants to ignore them. So what we have done is we have written the rights into our Constitution. And one of those rights, of course, is that we would all be equal. That would mean everybody in Australia, including the original inhabitants, we would all be on an equal footing. If I may, I'd like to read the preamble because I think this defines what our Constitution is all about.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
It says, "We the people of Australia, voting at referendum, adopt this Constitution as the cornerstone and basic law of Australian society and declare that this Constitution shall be changed only by the people in accordance with the provisions herein. This Constitution shall establish, promote and preserve a free, secular, egalitarian and just society in which all Australian citizens are equal before the law and have equal opportunity to enjoy life, liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Throughout this Constitution, unless the contrary intention is obvious, references to the male gender shall include the female gender and vice versa. We the people of Australia declare with this Constitution that the people and only the people are sovereign. We the people of Australia acknowledge our history and with this Constitution declare sovereignty over Australia as described herein in perpetuity. All the assets of the land, air and sea of Australia form part of the Commonwealth and belong to all Australian citizens. We the people declare sustainable development a fundamental principle of our nation. We declare that any activity that unduly and adversely impacts on the natural environment shall be unlawful and that we shall restore as far as possible the damage already inflicted on the land, air and sea. Recognizing that some aspects of society are better achieved with common standards, centralized decision-making and collective endeavor, we the people establish with this Constitution a system of representative democratic government. This system provides for government of the people, by the people, for the people, and shall remain in force until changed by the people voting at referendum." Only a little bit to go. "The validity of all laws passed by the Parliament shall be judged against this Constitution, including this preamble. No laws shall impinge on the rights and responsibilities of the people as stipulated in this Constitution, unless agreed by the people voting at referendum. Any law, ordinance, regulation, or court judgment contrary to the provisions of this Constitution shall be invalid. With this Constitution, we, the people of Australia, declare friendship to all other nations and that we have no aspirations for the territory of any other nation. This declaration shall be changed only by the people voting at referendum." So that pretty well sums up what our draft Constitution is all about.
It's fantastic. What do you think, Damon? What are your thoughts?
Well, for, let's just throw a litmus test to that, shall we? How would the carbon tax fare in this particular constitution was at play, would it be constitutional or non-constitutional?
Well, obviously it would be unconstitutional, because what we are seeking to do is to bring in a whole new constitution. And as part of that process, and it would not be done overnight, we would have to do it in a series of carefully considered referendums over a long period of time. But we would use the draft constitution as the basis for that. So as part of that process, we would also review all the laws and regulations, etc., and start afresh. Obviously, some of the more basic laws would have to stay in place, but things like carbon tax is not really a legal tax, because it was not approved in referendum by the people. So that would have to be repealed immediately.
Okay, so if the people were brainwashed enough en masse, and the powers to be behind the scenes, and I think you know who they are and the powers that they have, if they brainwashed enough people, would it be, would that make it, you know, if you had the mass ruling, would that make something constitutional?
Well, the thing is, under the draft constitution, or what we hope will become the constitution, everything of substance like this would be subject to the will of the people voting at referendum. Now, I don't mean to appear a bit rude, but I think you're assuming that the Australian people are not that smart, whereas I believe that they are. Yes, we've been more or less brainwashed into accepting all these things, terrible things that are going on. But at the end of the day, people are waking up and they are realising that what's going on is not right.
Well, I hope you're right, but I mean, how many people would you need to get this up and running? How many people would need to sign, join up? How many people do we need to get this thing so it's in play?
Well, the procedure at the moment is we have got a motion that we want to present to Parliament that is seeking to amend Section 128 of the Constitution. And we were very lucky that when the Founding Fathers set up the Constitution, they included this section, which allows the people to amend the Constitution by referendum. Now, unfortunately, they only gave the politicians the right to initiate referendums. So, and as we've seen, the politicians are not doing it. So we've ended up with a very old-fashioned and unproductive constitution, whereas we should be able to amend the constitution according to the situation as it develops. Now, I believe that once we get that amendment through, we need to have a majority, and we're suggesting somewhere between 70 to 80% of the voting public must approve a referendum. At the moment, it's 50% plus one, which is not really representative of an overwhelming majority.
Can I just clarify, Mike, just a quick question. Are you saying that in order to have a referendum, you basically have to have a referendum that everyone agrees that we're going to have a referendum? Or I'm just trying to understand the process.
No. Sorry, let me explain here.
Yeah.
We are now passing around a petition, and under the current law, we have to have a minimum of 1% of the population. Now, that's somewhere between 150 and 250,000 people.
Right.
I don't know how many people there are in Australia at the moment. What's the population here, about 22 million?
Yeah, it's a little over 22 million. I'll get you to return to that point right after break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. I'm talking to Mike Holt from Restore Australia, and we're going to work out how we're going to change the process by which we have a referendum in this country, which I think is a fantastic idea. I think there's some logistical questions there which need to be sorted out. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break.
She said she learned the hard way. Said she wanna spare the children. She said don't give a say your soul away, 'cause all that you have is your soul. So don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. 'Cause all that you have is your soul.
Welcome back, you with Truth News Radio. My guest today is Mike Holt from Restore Australia, and one of the goals of Restore Australia is to amend Section 128 of the Constitution, which defines the way in which we can have a referendum. Now, Mike, just to clarify, you want the referendum to be able to be initiated by the Australian people rather than the politicians, but you want to make it. It's got to be an overwhelming majority of people who want to have the referendum. Go ahead.
Under parliamentary law right now, we need about 1% of the population to sign a petition to accompany a motion to Parliament. And that motion must be submitted by one of the politicians. And unfortunately, they don't always do it. They take the petition and then they just shelve it and nothing happens. But if we can get 1% of the population, and we're aiming for 1 million signatures, actually, if we could get that many, we would then be able to put the pressure on the politicians to accept the motion and submit it to Parliament. And once it's been submitted, the Governor-General has 90 days to start a referendum. So we really need the support of the Australian people to get the signatures on the petition, and then we can go down to Parliament armed with the might of the people behind us and say, we need this petition, this motion, to go through Parliament.
Okay, so you're sticking with the current 1.5%, was it?
1%.
1%. But you want to move to a situation where you said 70%. Can you just clarify that, the 70% figure?
Yes. If we have a referendum on anything after that,
yeah.
At the moment, if we have a referendum, only 50% plus one is needed to approve the referendum. And we don't think that that is a sufficient number to say that a majority of Australians approve of that referendum. So we would like to increase the number maybe up to 70, 75%. Even maybe 80%, but that will be determined by the people voting in a referendum. That's only our suggestion. So okay. Everything that comes after the first motion to Parliament to amend Section 128, everything will be down to the people and what they want, how they want to be governed.
Okay, and so the question of how we do referendums in the future would be part of this referendum.
That's correct.
Now, the question of the number of people is important. But the mechanism by which a referendum would be initiated, you're saying you'd like to change that so that it can be initiated by the people rather than the politicians. What are the logistical issues of the people being able to initiate a referendum?
All right, just let me clarify that, actually. We're not seeking to deprive the politicians of the right to initiate referendums.
Right.
We want them to keep that right, but we want to extend that right to the people as well.
Okay.
So all eligible voters will be able to start initiate a referendum. Now, how that would work, let's say we have a crackpot group with, say 150,000 members, and they all sign the petition to give their group certain rights under the Constitution. So that looks pretty worrying. But when you put that petition out, you put that referendum out to the people, there's, 22 million Australians? Do you really think that they're going to approve a crackpot idea? No. So this is another reason why we need a larger majority of people to approve a referendum, because that would eliminate the possibility of crackpot groups or religious groups gaining a foothold where they shouldn't be.
So, Michael, you need a little over 200,000 signatures, right? Is that
the math? Yes, I think it's about 220,000.
Okay. And when do you would you like to get those signatures by? And how do we get, if we're listening now, how do we sign that now?
Okay, well, the petition is actually available on our website under a menu there called Downloads. The top one says Download Petition. You can also download the free draft constitution. You can download our current constitution, and you can also download the history of the Commonwealth Bank. Now, so all of this is available off the website, and it has to be printed out, and it has to be signed. We need your printed name, your signature, and your postcode.
And how long do you think that'll take to before it sort of catches on? If I email this to all my friends and get their friends to email it on, and everybody is listening here, I mean, come on, that's a small thing for us to do, right? So I'm going to send it to everybody that I know. Harold's going to do it to everybody he knows. I mean, if we use that sort of snowball effect, how long do you think it'll take to get critical mass there?
I'd like to think within 3 or 4 months, but I'm an optimist.
Yeah.
Now, it really depends on how upset the people are with the current system of government. And from what I'm seeing, people are upset, but until now, they haven't known what to do. So
yeah.
Restore Australia is offering them a solution.
Yeah, I think it's great. I'm just wondering that you know, I know who we're up against here, and I know what they'll do to stop anything. I mean, you can see what they do all around the world. They'll kill,
yeah.
Overthrow, undermine, whatever is required. I mean, they just there's nothing off limits for these guys.
Well, that's right. But the thing is also you're seeing a rising tide of the people growing and getting very dissatisfied with the way the system has been run. And the riots in Greece, in Egypt, the changes of government in Ireland and Iceland. Iceland is a tremendous example of what people power can do.
Surely you're not thinking the apathetic, you know, dumbed down Australians at the same level there. I mean, we're lucky to get, 2,000 people to a carbon rally. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I understand that. And I've been to a few rallies and I've been very disappointed at the turnout. But the thing is, right now, all the policies of the Labor government and past governments as well, because it's a cumulative effect, are starting to bite and people are starting to hurt.
Yeah.
You look around you, there's businesses closing down everywhere, people losing jobs. I was outside Aldi yesterday and some poor guy was standing out there, can you spare me a coin? And I gave him a $2 coin because that's all I had in my pocket. I just spent all my money in Aldi. And I asked him, why are you out here trying to get some money? He said, because I've lost my job and I've got nowhere to go and I've got nothing to do. I can't do anything else. And I tell you, if I'd had the money, I would have done something for him. But I just, I'm a pensioner.
Well, talking about money, what would you do about the Reserve Bank?
Okay, well, I think the first thing you need to do is download the Constitution and read that. Because in there it does mandate that only the government has the right to issue money.
Right, so now, we wouldn't be borrowing at interest offshore, right? That'd be pointless, wouldn't it?
Yes. So if you download the history of the Commonwealth Bank, and we put it on our site because it is important, you'll see that the Commonwealth Bank was set up as a people's bank, first off. And up until 1930, it was very, very successful. It financed all the big building projects, the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and I think it financed that, but it certainly financed the farmers, the sheep farmers, the primary industries, the secondary industries. It even financed World War I. And the governor of the bank at that time stated that they had enough funds in reserve to actually fund that war 6 times over. So that was the golden age for prosperity and just everything good for Australia. Now, getting back to the question, to control how that the banks are working, we would have to reform the whole banking system. And to be honest with you, I don't want to go into too many details.
No, I think that's a great answer, that the whole thing needs to be reformed. I think that's all you needed to say, because
yes.
The current system is absolutely rubbish and it's got to be binned. So that's all you need to say. The details can be spoken about later, but it's a great response.
Yeah, I think...
We're actually working with CEC on that.
Yeah, that's...
They're good guys.
That sounds great. You've established that you want to change the foundation of the way things work to actually make it more democratic, which I also totally support. I still do have some questions in my mind about the logistics of of being able to trigger a referendum at the drop of a hat. And you're saying, well, you know, well, people won't vote for it, but then it has to go through the bureaucracy of a quite a complex process to have a referendum. I wonder, how do you prevent from vexatious referendums being launched by people? How would you deal with that? I'm just curious.
All right. Well, we would actually have a referendum commissioner or something like that. So if a group wants to get up a referendum, they would have to get the petition up first and get the sufficient signatures, and then they would have to go to the referendum commissioner and work with him to draft a proper referendum.
Okay, I think you're just being cut off here by our music. Some of our technology here is a little bit flaky. We're going to break, and we'll be right back after the break. I'm with Mike Holt from Restore Australia, back for another 15 minutes. Don't go away. Really important show.
Seems to me like they want us to be afraid, man. Or maybe we just like being afraid. Just so used to it at this point that it's just a part of us, part of our culture. Security alert on orange. It's been on orange since 01, G. I mean, what's up, man? Can a brother get yellow, man? Just for like 2 months or something? Goddamn. Sick of that. Mic check. The groove is thick, so I'ma rhyme like a lunatic. I do this shit with an unassuming wit. The corporation conjured up the bass and the tempo. My name is Liv, that's the intro, now let's go. The flow of life throwing strife.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. It's great to be with you today. And we're talking about how we might restore Australia, how we might amend the constitution to give the population here more say in what we do. And Mike, you were explaining there how there would be some sort of a commission or some process by which we might be able to filter out the more vexatious, I certainly don't want to diminish the rights of anyone, but I know what the world is like, and I know that there are all kinds of splinter groups out there, and if you had a process that was just totally open, you could end up with a very clunky bureaucracy chugging along all the time dealing with all the referendum applications.
All right, well, as I said before, you know, getting a petition signed of 220,000 signatures is no small task.
Right.
And as our population grows, that number of people signatures required is going to grow. So if we set it at a 1% of the population, that's a huge ask, and not many people are going to be able to achieve that.
Okay.
So, but even if they do, first of all, it'll have to come under the scrutiny of the commissioner or whoever it is that's assigned to look after the referendums. He will then word the referendum according to the law so that it's properly worded and everybody can understand it, and then it will go before the people. Now, no matter what goes before the people, they're not stupid, and they're not going to vote in something that is going to harm them.
Yeah.
So I think this is the safeguard that's built into the system.
I respect that. I really want to address, before we run out of time today, your position on immigration and refugees and immigration. I don't know if you want to separate those two subjects, but I understand you've got concerns about it. I do too. I think we've got far too many people coming into this country. But on the same hand, I don't want to come across as someone who is without compassion. And I personally don't really see our biggest problem as being refugees. I see it as being more the hundreds of thousands of people who are being brought here under government control. And that's just way out of control. But anyway, hand it over to you. I mean, tell me your whole position on those issues.
Well, I think we really have to separate the immigrants and the refugees and the invaders. The boat people coming in here are claiming to be asylum seekers, and yet they're flying from their home countries across several countries in some cases to a third country like Indonesia or Malaysia or wherever. They are hiring illegal boats and coming here with the express intention of going around our laws. Now, our government apparently doesn't even know what our laws are, because if you look up the position, I think it's the Immigration Act or something, our border protection ship captains have the legal right to turn the boats around and escort them out of Australian territorial waters. And that law has not been rescinded. It's still there. So I don't know why the Labor government and the Liberals before them were letting in all these illegal boat people. And I don't call them refugees or boat people. I call them invaders because that's what they're doing. But, you know, if you look at the bigger picture, they're only a very small part of the problem. We get far more people coming, flying in, and then overstaying their visas and staying here. I don't understand how they can manage to stay here, and do they become citizens eventually, or are they always illegal? And what is their position? I don't think too many people understand that. So the thing is, under the draft constitution, immigration would be strictly controlled. We would not just allow anybody in, and in fact, we would probably put on a wristband or some sort of a tracking device on every person who comes in here on a tourist visa or a working visa so that we can keep track of them until their visa expires, and then they would have to leave. All right, that sounds a little bit draconian, but we've seen what happens when we're too lax. So our policy would be to apply the letter of the law to immigration and all the other bits and pieces of it.
Okay, Michael, well, I think we all should work feverishly to get those 200,000 signatures, so I think we should all do our best, anybody who's listening now, to go and do something on that front. But let's go forward in time. Let's just say we're unbelievably successful in the next few months. We get the signatures, I assume, then it takes a year or two to get this referendum, and we're successful on that, and we get the constitution, and let's go forward 5 or 10 years' time. Now, the people who really run the show have just seen us put in a constitution that really, really impacts their plans. It's plans for this country, the plans that they had for Canberra and their secret bases that they have here. Now, what do you think they're going to be doing, and how does the Constitution help us defend ourselves from what would be the retribution coming our way if this was ever to get up?
Okay, well, our Constitution, our draft Constitution, is not directed at destroying anybody. In fact, it's aimed at building consensus and cohesion and a national pride. So, but I must admit that when you look at our draft constitution, for people who are in the entrenched corridors of power would look at it and throw their hands up in horror because it's going to directly impact on their prerogatives. But our idea is to completely revamp the political system, starting from the ground up. So that would mean that all our politicians would be directly responsible to the people. Now, let me just explain the structure. We envisage a federal parliament, a federal government, which would be solely responsible for providing federal services, road, rail, anything to do with that has to be done on a federal basis, water management. And then that would go down to a series of regional governments. Now, we've prepared a map of 98 regions based on the water tables around Australia, and I think Gough Whitlam did something similar. And each one of those regions would consist of about 250,000 voters. So in the big cities, you'd have probably two or three or even more regions. And that region would consist of one representative from 50 electorates made up of 5,000 voters. Right now we have about 80,000 voters in some of the larger electorates. No politician can possibly get to know all of those people. So under our idea, just having small electorates of 5,000 people would make it possible for people within the electorate to get to know their neighbours and then select one of their own to represent them in the regional government or council or whatever you want to call it. Those 50 representatives would then run the regional government and supply regional services, which would then also be seamlessly supplied across the nation. So you wouldn't go from one region to another one and have different rules, different laws, different services. They would all be seamlessly the same, and you wouldn't have any problem with people moving around. So if I'm up here and I go to Adelaide, I would know that I'd get the same type of hospital treatment down there as I would here, under the same conditions. Now, in the regional parliament, they would select one representative to go to the federal government and represent them there. And all along the way, these representatives are directly responsible to the people. Now, you can see the result of that, can't you? There would be no more state governments, which is actually a very wasteful third tier of government, and there would be no more political parties because there would be no need for them. The politicians would be directly responsible to the people. That's our goal.
Yeah, but and I mean, that all sounds great, and I'm totally all for that, and I think it's fantastic. However, you're going to get agitators, you're going to get dark forces with enormous amount of wealth, enormous amount of power, cutting off supplies. You're going to get provocation on a level that you just cannot believe. You just need to go back in the last 50, 100, 200 years to sort of see the sort of things. If you want to set yourself up as a true sovereign free country, what's going to be coming your way? Is there anything you've built into this constitution that helps us defend against that inevitable response?
Well, first of all, times have changed, and the more these people put up a resistance, I think the more the people are going to understand what they're doing and see that we have to resist them. Under our draft constitution, one of the things that we would like to bring in is national service. Now, this is not the conscription that we had back in the Vietnam War days. This is what we would call community service. And you would have the choice either of going into the military or doing civil service, fire brigades or whatever. And every person from 18 to 38 would have to give some service to the country during those years. Every citizen would be armed and trained in arms in the military, except those who are unable to, physically unable to. And then they would be able to give the rest of their community service in other areas if they wish. So every citizen would be armed and able to use those arms and trained in them, and also they would undergo periodic training to keep them up to date. So I think once we have that, these dark forces are going to think twice, because if you have an armed population who knows how to defend themselves, you're going to be up against a very, very dangerous force, much more dangerous than these people trying to blockade us and whatever. And that brings me to the next point. If we are going to do that, we would also bring in our own defense industry. So we would make our own armaments, build our own planes, build our own ships, which would increase manufacturing. That would then spin off into other manufacturing areas, and we would build up our manufacturing sector. Bring in...
Do continue, Mike. We just had a little problem there with the audio. Keep speaking, sorry.
We would be able to build up our manufacturing, bring back apprenticeships, and generally we would become more self-sufficient. Now, a country that is self-sufficient does not have to fear any outside forces. But as we stated in the preamble of our constitution, we do not seek to dominate anybody. We want to remain friends with everybody, trade with them, and
Mike, we are running to the end of the hour. I'm so sorry. We have run out of time. We have a bumper, but unfortunately I had to turn down the bumper because it was cutting you off. I'm so sorry. We've run out of time. It's been terrific speaking to you. I hope to get you on the show again.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, and I've enjoyed it.
Thanks.